The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Bob's not here. We'll get that out of the way early. I know that's a crushing disappointment to everybody. I feel horrible every time I say it, but get used to it. Should we call him Part-Time Pomp?
Aww.
Is that a good nickname?
Poor Bob.
Part-Time Pomp, I think, is a good...
I like it.
Yeah, I like that. How are you today, Limits?
Oh, I'm okay. How are you?
I'm excited.
I could tell.
Well, we have a field trip planned later today.
Yes.
You and me, we're headed out to Beaver County, my friend. We're going to go to the Brighton Hot Dog Shop, where Bob and Ron, I think their photos are still on cups out there, if I'm
really?
Not mistaken. Yes.
Oh, and we got to see that.
I'm going to lobby. I'm going to lobby for you and I to replace them.
Yes.
Or at least stand alongside them. We're going to talk to the owner.
I don't know about
there,
replacing Bob.
Or if she's there. I don't know who the owner is. We're going to talk to the owner. And we're going to ask if we can get photos. We'll pose for them right then. And if we can get a cup, that's my goal tonight, is to get me and you on a cup at the Brighton Hot Dog Shop. And then we're headed over to the Beaver Blackhawk boys basketball game. My friend Jason Bublis coaches Beaver. He's the new coach at Beaver. What he doesn't know is I'm going there to root for Blackhawk. No.
Why?
I'm kidding. I don't know. I don't know yet. We'll see how he acts. I'm planning on rooting for Beaver at the start, and we'll see how it goes from there. But the point is that you and I are taking a field trip, and I'm excited. Remember field trips in elementary school? We used to go to the whatever it was where you see stars and astronomy things. What was the science center? Things like that.
The science center. that exists.
Unbelievable stuff. How excited you were with your little brown bag, little limit. This was like 2 years ago for you, but how excited you were to get on the bus and go off to the field trip. Do you remember those days?
Yes, we went to the Science Center. We also, in eighth grade, had a trip where, because we went to a Catholic grade school at St. E's, we got to go to Seton for a day. We got to go to Central for a day. What it would be like if you went to that school.
Yes.
And I won't say which one was which, but there was one school I was like, no, I do not want to go here. Send me to Baldwin, please.
They were big days, field trips, and we're going to have one of our own later today, Limits, and I think we'll bond on that trip, okay?
I think we will.
Yeah, we'll meet here later. We'll head on out to Beaver County. A shorter trip than you might imagine. I was torn today on what to open with, a six-pack or national media going crazy about the Steelers. And you know what? There's so much going on here. And we have the Tomlin News Conference at noon, of course. And Brian Batko, the Batconian Mongoose, will join me right after that. There's so much going on that I want to open with a six-pack. And then I'm going to get to my Steelers and national media soliloquy at 11 o'clock. Off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. I've had a cold. I've had a thing in my upper respiratory system for a month. For a month! I've never had it for this long. What is happening here? I went to the doctor last week. She put me on antibiotics, but she also said, you know, it's not COVID. It's not the flu. It's not pneumonia, all of which I've had. It's just this thing. It's this thing, limits, that's there every day, and it goes in rounds. It makes rounds. It disappears, and then it swings back for more. I think it's gone. I think I'm okay. And then I spend half the night coughing. Is this happening around town? Have you heard of people with a month-long thing?
Well, I have not had that, but I can experience that, you know, this time of year, those sinuses really start to bother you, the weather changing. I hate it. I hate it.
I hate the cold.
It just.
Do you see my shirt today?
Florida Atlantic. Did you get that recently?
I just visited there with my daughter.
How was that?
She just wants to go to the beach for
school.
College. Yeah, we'll see about that. But being on that campus, oh my God. I'm telling you, I don't think I would have lived through my freshman year. It's like being at a resort. It's like sending her off to a resort. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Will they be calling you Party Joe Starkey every single day?
Well, they sort of were at Cortland State anyway. But can you imagine, like, well, Cortland State or something of that ilk compared to Boca Raton? It was incredible. It truly was. And we visited there, and I want to be where it's warm, and I want to go play golf. You can get on a flight these days for like $67 to Florida.
You're acting like you're going to Florida Atlantic.
If she is, I might. I'll tell you that right now.
Get your doctorate.
I got a buddy from Buffalo who has a condo in Fort Lauderdale, and he said I can stay there. So if I can get these flights that are under $100 and I can stay somewhere for free, all I have to pay for is golf. That's it.
Did you try to see Ron on this trip?
No.
Did you even think about it?
No. All I have to pay for is golf. I think I'm going to go a lot of times. Give me a six-pack limits, please. Thank you. Did I mention off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding? First item, have your thoughts on the Cleveland Browns changed given the tenor of the game last night? Not necessarily the result. We all came in yesterday, I believe you did, myself and the other guy on this show. What's his name again?
Bob
Pompiani. Yes.
Yes.
We all said that this was going to be a blowout win for the Steelers. Have you changed your mind based on what you saw last night?
No, I mean, we know that Jameis Winston is the gunslinger, and we saw it with 500 yards passing and also three picks, two of them for pick sixes. So none of what happened last night was surprising. Maybe Denver putting up 41 on their defense was.
I was a little bit surprised. I didn't have Jameis for, how many yards did he wind up with? Did he get to 500? He was close at one point. I was falling in and out of sleep at that point. But I haven't changed my mind one single bit. The Browns is still the Browns, as they say. And we all know what Jameis does. You know, he can light you up. He's going to make big plays for both teams. He almost had a third pick six. It should have been. How many guys in history have had three pick sixes? Well, nobody's had two plus 400 or however many yards. How many yards did he have, limits? How many in the end? Huh?
Was it 497 for Jameis?
Something like that. Yeah. Nobody's had that many yards passing and two pick sixes. He's capable of all of that. They beat the Ravens, but it took Kyle Hamilton dropping a little lollipop right in his arms at the end of the game. Do you remember that?
I do.
So the Browns are the Browns are the Browns. Plus, they're traveling across the country from Denver on a short week to come here for, I believe, a Steeler team that is going to be loaded for bear or loaded for brown, as the case may be. Myles Garrett was the star in Cleveland. When the Steelers went there, I have a hunch it's going to be T.J. Watt this time around. I have a hunch that Jameis Winston is going to make plays for both teams. I have a hunch that the Steelers would have won that last game anyway, which was the Browns Super Bowl, if Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith hadn't lost their collective mind and put in Justin Fields to throw a ball down the field with a chance to seal the win when their starting quarterback is as hot as anybody in the league. What the hell were they thinking? And if Pomp were here, he'd yell at me for still talking about that game, but I think it's pertinent now. Because I think the Steelers will make the necessary adjustments. Adjustment number one being keep your hot starting quarterback, your red hot starting quarterback, in the blanking game when you have a chance to win. I think the Steelers are going to smash this team. How does 34-13 sound, limits? Nice to you?
That would be ideal. I don't think it's likely.
Why?
Well, they always keep it close.
So you have changed your mind?
No.
You said it would be close yesterday, and you're saying today.
Correct. I think it'll be a one-score game.
Ooh. I vehemently disagree. I think there is something to be said for playing on a Monday night, losing a battle like that, traveling across the country and having a short week to come here for a team that is, I think, and should be pissed off right now.
Yeah, I'll backtrack to a 10-point game.
Thank you, Limits. Next. 3-game suspension for Azeez Al-Shaair for the hit on Trevor Lawrence. 3 games. And I got the impression that this was a lifetime achievement award for him. But the hit itself was kind of sickening, really, to watch. And then he was a significant part of a brawl after that. I've got no problem with this. You?
No, no problem at all. Would have been okay if it was even 4 games. So completely fine with the 3-game suspension. Even if it was for the year, that was a bad hit on Trevor Lawrence. Giving himself up. Clearly targeting the head.
It was ridiculous. And if you're going to curb it, you have to have stiff suspensions. So I like this. Next. Limits. Let's talk about quarterbacks. Let's talk about Russell Wilson. Let's talk about Rich Eisen saying that Russell Wilson could lead the Steelers to a Super Bowl. It seems to me that after flying under the radar for a long time, and I'm going to get back to this long form coming up at 11, that the national media now is taking the Steelers very, very seriously. It was just a week ago that we spoke of the Ravens had beaten the Chargers. And so it looked like everybody that I talked to, everybody that I listened to, was taking the Ravens more seriously than the Steelers. I sense a shifting in the national narrative. For better or worse, I'm sensing that the Steelers are starting to become everybody's little sneak team. Watch out for the Steelers. They could wind up in the Super Bowl. Am I building a straw man here, Limits, or are you getting the same impression from national media? I didn't hear any of this 2 weeks ago.
Well, no, when you lose to Cleveland on a Thursday night, despite playing Baltimore on a short week, I think there's a lot of reasons to criticize. They've jumped from the Chargers as the hot team to the Steelers. And partly is, I think a lot of people are wrong on Russell Wilson, myself included, and their eyes are starting to be opened to the possibility that the Steelers could actually compete with Kansas City and Buffalo.
I agree, man. I think a lot of people feel like the Bills are the team to beat. I got asked that in my weekly mailbag, which is read intergalactically from here to Uranus, and they're not. It's the Chiefs. The Chiefs are the team to beat. Let's not get silly here. They're the guys. I don't care the nature of their games, whatever. Right now, as we sit here today, the road to the Super Bowl in the AFC goes through Arrowhead, and it goes through Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. They're the team to beat. Next. What happened to Deontay Johnson? Can somebody please tell me this? I remember doing a story on this guy early in his career when he was just starting to put up pretty big numbers. I think I talked to his high school coach, as I recall. Maybe it was his college receivers coach. But the bottom line is this guy is as humble gets. Knew he was going to be an NFL player. Unbelievable route runner. Just a great guy, great team guy, and a potentially great player. We're not surprised to see it here. What happened? Is it a little bit of money get to somebody's head? Is that what happened here? Is it something else? I can't figure out what's going on with this guy. Because now, he just got to Baltimore like 10 minutes ago, and they seemingly want to get rid of him. It's been a disaster. People thought I exaggerated the Deontay goes backwards thing. I don't think so. In Baltimore, it's him falling down on a key play, not getting out of bounds. Something weird always happens with Deontay on certain plays. Like how many plays from the Kenny Pickett era did we sit there and say, was that Deontay's fault or Kenny's? As Ron used to say, although he made an exception because I don't think he liked Pickett, Bruce Arians told him 100% of the time it's on the receiver. And I'm starting to believe that. Remember a couple of years ago, there was a play in the end zone. I don't remember who it was against Limits. Please forgive me for that. But everybody thought it was a horrible throw by Pickett. But then some people in the game said, no, Deontay was supposed to sit, just stop in the end zone. And it's an easy touchdown. So once again, it was, who screwed up that play, Deontay or the quarterback? And he leads the league in those questions. Who screwed up that play? There were two plays when the Ravens came here to Deontay early in the game. One was down the right sidelines. It was Lamar getting outside the pocket to his right, which is what Tomlin said explicitly, you can't let him do. And Deontay was one-on-one, and Lamar put up what looked like a catchable ball if Deontay had just kept sprinting. But something weird happened. Why? Because it was Deontay. Then the other early target, and I'm convinced to this day that the Ravens wanted to kind of stick it to the Steelers early, like, look at our new toy, the guy you got rid of. And instead it backfired. There was a pass down the left sidelines, a moon ball, if you will. Limits? And I know you will. Won't you?
Yes.
Thank you. There was a moon ball down the left sidelines, and he sort of kind of caught it out of bounds. And Charles Davis, the analyst on CBS, said, you got to give your quarterback a chance. Deontay didn't leave enough space between himself and the sideline to make for a deep fade, a catchable, throwable, really, deep fade. So once again, it was that the quarterback or Deontay? I think we're all defaulting to Deontay now. At least we are in Pittsburgh, Carolina, and Baltimore. And now the latest is that they might get rid of the guy this week. This is John Harbaugh yesterday.
I'm going to have to wait, just to clarify. There's some moving parts there that we're going to have to figure out and explore and just see where we're at.
By moving parts, does he mean Deontay walking backwards out of the team facility? Or what does he mean by moving parts?
He's going to get locked out like Jamal Adams, probably.
I'll tell you what he means by moving parts. A settlement with Deontay to get him the hell out of there. That's what I think he means. I don't understand what happened to that guy. I really don't. It seems to have begun with the halftime issue with Mitch Trubisky that led to Kenny Pickett. And it was a surprise even then. It was like, wait, Deontay? So he joins the long list of problematic receivers that Mike Tomlin maybe has enabled, certainly has gotten rid of. It seems like, listen, I got asked this too in the weekly mailbag. Give me another one here before I go off on this one. Thank you, Limits, very kindly. Players love playing for Tomlin, most of them. We know this, and players around the league seem to want to play for him. That's just flat out true. But it's also true that some guys come here and feel misled and blatantly quit, like in ways we don't see around the NFL, like during a game, walk off the field, LeGarrette Blount, James Harrison. Just fall asleep in meetings and don't show. You know, guy, who's the other guy? Melvin Ingram, fake an injury. Just guys quit here in very dramatic ways. And then there's the list of receivers, problematic receivers, who come here and maybe are enabled by Tomlin, but don't really seem to show any sort of remorse. We've learned that any remorse they do show seems to be fake. And then eventually, perhaps through Tomlin's enabling, they just lose it and they're gone. And I speak, it's not like this is a tiny sample size, as they say. I speak of the most famous one or infamous one, Antonio Brown. I speak of Santonio Holmes, who was still at the very top of his game, I think, when that issue happened, a couple of them. And the Steelers just traded him for like a fifth or sixth round pick. I speak of Chase Claypool. I speak of Martavis Bryant. I speak of Deontay Johnson. Could start our own team practically with the guys who fit that description. Anyway, next. This is unbelievable. I heard them talking about this at the end of the morning show. This new golden rule in MLB. Have you seen this? Oh, Limitless Wonder.
Oh, yeah, I hate it.
Let me explain to people what it is. Rob Manfred, the commissioner, who I don't like. I don't know him. I don't like his public persona. I think he's obnoxious and arrogant. But I do absolutely acknowledge that this guy has revolutionized the game of baseball. He has. The time clock being the number one thing. He's modernized and revolutionized the game of baseball. Doesn't mean all his ideas are good or all that I agree with, but man, do I give him credit for going way outside the box, pun intended, to spice up and modernize Major League Baseball. So the Puck is the website. John Orand is the writer. And Manfred says there are a variety of rule change ideas that are being talked about. One of them, there was a little buzz around it at the owners' meeting, was the idea of a golden at-bat. And as it's written here, the concept is to choose one at-bat in every game where a team can use its best hitter regardless of where they are in the lineup. This is unbelievable. Now, Jason Stark from The Athletic said you should or could restrict the rule to only teams trailing at the time. I think that would be really interesting. But what about if a guy, Ohtani, hits a double and he's on second? Do you pinch run for him and then let him hit? So Ohtani knocks in Ohtani, like Josh Allen catching a touchdown pass from himself the other night. Bottom line is, we could quibble over the details. I didn't think I would like this, and I don't. I absolutely love it. This is one of the greatest rules changes I've ever seen.
It's not a rule change. Just don't make people think that it's actually like something that's definitely happening. It's just a proposal, just an idea right now, more so than even a proposal.
Easy, big boy. It is a rules change.
No, it's not. They have not formally changed the rules to apply this.
Well, yeah, I didn't say it happened. It's a proposed, or it could get to the point. It would be a rules change, and a major one, limits. Why don't you like it?
I can't stand it. It's way too gimmicky for me.
More gimmicky than an imaginary runner at second base.
I don't like that rule either.
Who doesn't even exist.
I do not like that rule either.
No?
At all. And if you want to watch gimmicky baseball, go watch the Savannah Bananas. Or go watch something else.
I will. Maybe more people around here would watch it. I'll tell you that.
I just cannot stand the idea of this rule where you can... There's a lineup for a reason. But baseball's all about tradition. They changed the pitch with the pitch clock. Okay, fine.
Actually, it's not about tradition anymore, but keep going.
Okay, explain to me why.
I just mentioned that there's imaginary bases. This is like, what, the field of dreams. There's guys coming out of the cornfield to run on second base to start the 10th or 11th inning. What is it?
That would probably be the one outlier, right? I mean, the pitch clock just speeds up the game a little bit. It did change the game in terms of time of game and pace of game, but it didn't change like the core structure of baseball.
How about relievers having to face three batters? How about bases the size of pizza boxes?
I don't think the
How
bases no ma- all that matters.
How about
that
no
much.
Shifts?
I feel like this rule is just so substantial where you could bring Ohtani to the plate and then, Ohtani just hit a home run. Let's bring him back up again.
Let me ask you a question.
I just hate that.
And
I hate that.
I think most people would probably agree with you. We might have to talk about this for a minute, actually, at 412-928-9370. I didn't think we'd be talking baseball, but this is so revolutionary if it happens. And I love it. See, I don't really care anymore about the tradition of the game. In fact, I think people who are wed to the tradition of the game are the ruiners of baseball. These are the people who didn't want the DH in the National League. Everybody around here happy that there's a DH because it's the only reason Andrew McCutchen plays anymore. So I wonder if those people would trade going back to the old rules to not have seen McCutchen the past 2 years. It's the only reason Dave Parker got to play so late in his career for a variety of teams. People like that. But the traditionalists, as they're called, no, please, no DH in the National League. All right, then no Andrew McCutchen. They're the ones keeping some of the best baseball players of all time out of the Hall of Fame because of tradition. Can you get Brian Kelly, please, pounding the table? Because that's what... Yes, we're talking about traditionalists and their basic ruination of baseball, clinging to the old form of baseball. Man, you have to modernize more and more of this game. You have to make it must-see television. That's the bottom line. You have to make baseball must-see television, and you got to stay ahead of the game, ahead of the game. The NFL does. The NFL doesn't go by, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They go by, if it ain't broke, make it better. Modernize, look to the future. What's about to happen television-wise? How can we get ahead of the game? baseball does not fit. It does not fit the modern attention span. The Twitter or X attention span. This generation and the one before it and the ones all after it. Their attention span, for better or worse. It's what is. People want things quick. They want things entertaining. They want a TikTok video. They want to see something on Instagram, and then they move on. Okay, so if I'm projecting into the future and I'm running baseball, I'm thinking, man, this is great that we shorten the games, but 2 hours is about an hour and 59 minutes and 15 seconds too long for the next million, trillion, billion kids that are about to come along in this country over the next how many years? How can we get ahead of the game? How can we create moments? How can we create moments where somebody can video it for a second, gets on X, gets on everything else, tweet it to your friends, all of that? And what's a better moment than, you know, Ohtani and Trout in the World Baseball Classic? Bob Welch and Reggie Jackson. Pick a pitcher, pick a hitter from baseball history. You live for those moments. This is actually something that could help baseball live into the future limits. So even if you hate it, you would still be watching, right? If it was David Bednar, at least the old David Bednar, on the mound in the ninth inning, and Shohei Ohtani, who just batted eighth, and Bednar, as usual, has loaded the bases. Bednar, Ohtani, you wouldn't sign up for that? Pick the best hitter, Aaron Judge, against pick a pitcher. You wouldn't be riveted to that, even if you hate the rule?
I would hate the rule and think it's just completely ridiculous. Like, oh, well, sure. I mean, yeah, it's interesting.
Who are you, Ron Cook here? Are you you're a baseball traditionalist.
Yeah, I am. I don't like
you
this.
You are Ron Cook?
Sure.
I never thought I would have Cook again in the form of a 23-year-old limitless wonder.
Do you want to have the Hall of Fame argument too here? I mean, I just feel like this rule, if it was implemented into the game.
Hold on. I'm going to let you finish your soliloquy. I don't believe you. I'm not saying that you intentionally lied. I don't believe you that if I told you that the Pirates in their home opener were down 4-3 in the ninth and loaded the bases with two outs, and let's say Austin Hedges was still on the team and it was his turn to take an at-bat, and instead they put O'Neill Cruz in, that you wouldn't be on the edge of your seat wanting to watch that and excited by that, even if you hate the rule.
Sure, you could be excited by it, but I still think that I'd rather not have that just for the good of the game.
Okay.
Because I think it's just a dumb idea.
Fair enough. Please continue your soliloquy.
That's pretty much the end of it.
It's a dumb idea. I hear you. And I think Adam Crowley agreed with you, although he was wavering. Doran Dickerson agreed with me. No, I didn't think we would go to baseball rules at the top of the show. Yes, it's going to be nearly all Steelers. We're going to have Mike Tomlin's news conference. But what do you think of this? Here's one thing that we can agree on. When Rob Manfred has an off-the-wall idea, it tends to get tried out at the very least. I think this is incredible. I think this is a way to modernize and futurize the game, to create moments. The kinds of moments that everybody seems, I can't even go on vacation anymore and actually live on vacation without people in my family wanting to stop it for you know, a moment for everybody. It's like you go to the Grand Canyon, you're standing up there trying to enjoy it, but somebody would rather create a viral moment out of it. Viral moments have replaced actually living. So I think this is a brilliant idea by Manfred. It's brilliant. And it's no more gimmicky than a lot of the stuff we see in sports these days that people actually like. 3-on-3 overtime. College football's overtime. If you watched the 8 overtime game the other day, this is the type of stuff that people like. And it's only sports. And it's 162 games, and you remove it for the playoffs the way that hockey does with a shootout. It's just fun. Can we have fun, traditionalists like Ron Cook and Austin Bechtold, a 23-year-old baseball traditionalist? Can we have a Ron clip just to introduce you? We'll take anything. Very good choice. All right, Cookie. You get the last word here.
I accept it.
All right.
Let's go to...
Why don't we wait for a second? Why don't we build up the phone lines?
Let's do it. They're building.
Let's light them up like Malzy in a craft beer house, shall we? That's the question on the table. The golden at-bat. Why not? Why not? Would it help or hurt a small market team? That's another question to get to. All right. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Our six-pack was brought to you by Bet365. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Tomlin coming up. Brian Batko coming up. You can engage with City Limits with your opinions on the Golden At-Bat, it's called. The Golden At-Bat. Normally I wouldn't have gone to this because you see a lot of crazy ideas presented, you know, in sports that are never implemented. But this is the mad scientist himself. This is the guy, love him or hate him, and I don't particularly like him, who has absolutely altered, I'll use the word again, revolutionized the game of baseball. He's changed it, I think, inarguably for the better. And that's Rob Manfred. So when he's talking about this, that there was buzz around it at the owners' meeting, that perks my ears.